The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this January 13th, 2021. No, 2022, huh? Right.
Yeah.
Just checking to see if you've paid attention. Alrighty, tonight we have the Lord of the Board, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Alright, and here live in the studio, we have that rascal Randy.
Be blessed, no stress, everyone.
She flutters and sputters and twitters around, none other than Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
She loves doing that. Okay, now, but we have a special guest tonight. Did you know that we have a special guest tonight? And that is Pastor Joe Eckmeyer from Family Baptist Church out there in Cortland. Hey, Joe.
Hello, Pastor. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you, my friend. People know you because you're right on this station on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock, aren't you?
Right.
And I've heard a lot about your good preaching. And so, you know what? I've tried to listen. I have, can you believe it or not, in my office in the morning. Of course, I'm working usually at 8 o'clock. I'm still working on my message. But the lights, I have those fluorescent lights. And do you know what fluorescent lights do to AM radio? They kill it. They just, the scattering. But see, if I sat and listened to you while I'm putting together my message, I don't know what it might do. It might change my message, too. What do you think?
Yeah, usually Sunday morning, at the same time I'm putting together my message or finishing it too. So yeah, I've taken in grass to the mill, they call it. You know, take in more stuff and changes things with the Holy Spirit move.
Amen. Very good. Well, my friend, we're going to get right into the message this evening. Now, the title of the message was "A False Witness Shall Not Go Unpunished." And he that speaketh lies shall perish. And that's, that happens to be Proverbs 19:9. That's what that is, right?
That's right.
Yes.
But we're going to pick it up where we left off, Joe, over in Colossians chapter 3. Now, just jump right in with your commentary, Joe, anytime. And just two verses here, verses 9 and 10. Now, Randy wants everyone to know he can read. So, Randy, go ahead and read those.
Sure. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Okay, lie not to one another. He's writing to Christians. And I thought Christians were supposed to lie.
But they do. But they do.
All right. And so here now, but if Christians are lying and we know it's wrong, right? What do you think the world's doing with that?
But the difference is we have the Spirit that really condemns us when we lie, and they don't.
So then when you grieve the Holy Spirit, he grieves you back, don't he?
That's exactly it. And he grieves back better than you do.
Yep. No, so to those that have been blinded by the lies. And boy, there's a lot of people blinded by the lies. We read that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse, starting with verses 1 through 5. It talks about those that have been blinded by the lies. But here, there's a lot of lies going on today, big time. I mean, I got an article here about the mainstream media, how they've really gone down in the ratings. I mean, they have really plummeted because nobody believes them anymore. They've lost just about all credibility. But, well, here it is right here. That's that article. See there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's what it says. The fall of the mainstream media and the biggest lies they told it's about four pages, and it's the lies that they've told. In the past year has confirmed anything. It is that the mainstream media is thoroughly dishonest. Yes, most people already suspect this, but the last 12 months have proved more confirmation than the past several years combined. So let's take a look at what are some of those things that the mainstream media has been lying about that's so clear.
But they lie in two ways. They lie in what they say, and also, I think, just as much as what they don't say.
Right.
And that's the problem with the mainstream media. They make the news. They lie in what they say, and then they're very adept at lying about not saying things. And that's just as much.
So you're talking about sins of commission and sins of omission.
Of omission, that's correct. They do it both ways.
They do some censoring. They remain silent on things like, for example, this whole thing with the COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that the vast majority of COVID is being spread by those that have been vaxxed. We know right now that 500,000 people in this country have died by the vax, and yet you're not hearing that. And we know that people are dying in hospitals left and right because they're treating them with things that to kill them.
And they're also lying about January the 6th, about what they aren't telling us about January the 6th, and they're lying about what they are telling us about January the 6th.
Yes.
So that's why we're here today, and that's why we're here every night to let people know, exactly what they're lying about and what the truth is, okay? So here, one of the things, though, and I've seen, and Pastor Joe, just jump in and comment whenever, you just, that's how you got to do it here, but is the problems, the families that have been split up. Grandparents, I've talked to more grandparents who you've been around a while, are a little bit wiser. They can spot, most of them can spot a phony much easier than their children. And I'm talking about adult children. And we've had a situation now, and I've heard so many times where the adult children will deny access to the grandchildren, to the grandparents. They'll deny them access because they haven't been vaxxed. They'll say, well, if you haven't taken the poison. And the grandparents say, listen, we know better than you do. We've been around a while. We can spot a con much quicker than you can. And believe me, this is a con. Now, little by little, it's starting to come out, okay? But that is one of the biggest. This whole scamdemic is next to evolution. What do you think, Joe? Next to evolution, I think, is one of the biggest lies that's ever been perpetrated upon the American people.
Yeah, definitely. And Scripture says, deceiving and being deceived. And I really believe that all the folks, especially can see them when they drive down the road in their car by themselves with a mask on, they join the death cult. They don't realize they joined the Antichrist death cult. And when you deal with people that knock at the door, those witnesses, Mormons, others that we classify as the cult, how hard it is to get them to break through the truth, get them to acknowledge any truth whatsoever because they're so brainwashed. It's the same thing with these folks that have joined the Antichrist death cult. They won't even, for one second, question what they're being told to believe. And when you just ask them simple questions, they can't figure it out. I'm sure everyone's seen that parody where one person to another, you need to get your vax so I don't get sick. Well, if you're vaccinated, why do I need to get the vax? but you need to get your vax so I don't get sick. And it goes on and on and on. And that's really the death cult deception that they're wrapped into, and it's hard to break people out of it. And they need the light of Jesus Christ to do that, obviously. They need the Holy Spirit to lead them the truth. But it is amazing how many people are joined up, part of the Antichrist death cult.
Well, you're absolutely right. And here, 366 times in God's Word, the Bible, Joe, it says to fear not. It's 366, one for every day, one for leap year, right?
That's right.
Yes.
And yet you look in their eyes, and there's fear in their eyes. There's fear in their eyes. And they also have a tendency, often with their masks, to look down, to look away from you, okay? And I've noticed that. Well, you know, sometimes they're just trying to make you feel ugly, but other times, you know, there's being mean. And we know that there's reasons that they're wearing these masks that don't seem to be reasons that they pretend to be. For example, sometimes, Joe, some of these women have mustaches. We know that. We know it, Joe. We know it, okay? Other times, they don't have any teeth, okay? And so this is why they put those masks on, and then they pretend like they're really good-looking under the masks. But we know better, don't we? Yes. We actually had an incident at the post office. There was a woman who was indignant for some of the people in there, and she was about going off and telling them why they should be covering their face. You know, the Bible tells you not to do that, doesn't it? In fact, what does he tell you over in Ezekiel chapter 12 when he's telling Ezekiel to go out, cover your face, and then commit, do what? Cover your face and then steal people's property, take it away from them, okay? And then, so the point of it is the covering of your face means that you're guilty and you're hiding your guilt and your shame. That's the point that he was making. You know, I mean, maybe not all those people don't have any teeth, but we know that it's possible, right? Anyhow, so here in that post office, Joe, this woman was doing that, and I said to her, "You're just doing that because you've got a mustache, and we know it." And with that, she just looked at me, turned around, and walked out. So now we'll never know, will we? Alrighty. But anyhow, so here when we talk about this, you know, falsities. Let me give you another real falsehood. You ready? I'm going to tell you the big lie that they're telling out there. Then you tell me, Joe, why it's a lie. You ready? Children are committing suicide because of the COVID. The children are committing suicide because of the COVID.
Yeah, it's an obvious lie. It's more because of their lockdowns than their stupidity of the schools, you know, telling children to be sitting apart and wearing masks all day. You know, there's pictures I saw on the internet where in New York and the frigid temperatures are having kids eat their lunch sitting on the curb 6 feet apart in the freezing cold outside with a mask on.
You know, if somebody goes by you in their car and they got their window down or even walking by and they wave and they're smiling at you, but then somebody else comes and they wave, but they're not smiling. They're making a mean face at you, Joe. Now, these children, you identify people by their faces, don't you?
Absolutely.
And these children, Joe, if their faces are covered up with masks, right, and they don't know. They don't know when they're talking. They don't know when the teachers whose face is covered up with a mask, other kids, and they don't know if these other kids are laughing, crying, or what. And it's very confusing to kids. Very confusing. Folks, you're not supposed to cover your face up. Because guess what? We were made in the image of God, huh?
In the image of God.
Yes.
And I believe there's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1.
Okay.
I think if I remember right, In Ecclesiastic, we'll see if Randy can find it.
chapter. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Incandescent, huh?
Incandescent? All right, we'll do that. Chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Who is the wise man? Who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed."
Okay, what do you think that means? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. So if the man's face is shining, what do you know about that?
That when a man's face shines, it's welcoming. It's pleasant, if you will. You know, shame does not shine. When a man's face shines, then there's something about it that's uplifting to everybody around him.
But if his face is covered up, how would you know if it's shining or not?
I mean, you don't know.
Right.
Okay. And the boldness of his face shall be changed. And the boldness of his face. Now, there's the boldness of that face. Sometimes men, believe it or not, have a tendency to get a little bit overbearing. Okay? And you can see that, right?
You absolutely can.
But if his face is shining and he knows the interpretation of a man's wisdom, then that boldness will be changed from that look of overbearingness to a look of, well, shining, huh? I mean, wisdom, huh?
Sure. I mean, think about when the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar that we're basically not going to do what you say, and it said his visage changed. And we know what his visage changed to.
Yeah.
When they told him that.
Rage, I think.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yes. Oh, boy.
And so there. But they had a friend, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah, they did.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's the kind of friend we have, isn't it?
That's yes.
It's the same friend.
It's Jesus. Yeah.
Amen.
Huh. Amen.
Okay. Well, now that we've covered that, let's go over, turn over in your Bible to Proverbs 1, and we're going to read Proverbs 1, 8 through 9.
Okay.
Proverbs 1, 8 through 9. Well, actually, let's start. In Proverbs 1, start with 8. And let's read it all the way down through 22.
Now, we're in Proverbs 1, and we're going just through it then.
We're going to start with verse 8. Ready?
Well, okay, with verse 8. All right,
yeah.
Got you. Okay. "My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall all find precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from thy path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places, place of concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge."
All right, now here, you know, we say, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." That's what these young people should be doing, these adult children that are denying their grandparents the access to the grandchildren, who are falling for this whole scandemic. They've fallen for it. They've been scammed. But here, what is the one thing, the reason for that today? What one thing, in my opinion, more than any other, have parents done, and I'm talking about the ones that are grandparents today, that they wish they could have undone when it comes to raising their children, The one thing that they wish they could have would never have done. What do you think, Pastor Joe?
I think it's not let them be raised by the public schools.
You got it, my friend.
Yes.
He gets an A.
Yes, A plus.
There you go. Joe, this will be on the air 50 years this year.
It's also sending them off to the colleges and universities, and the Christian parents thinking the greatest thing in their life for their kids to get that college degree, to get that good job, instead of thinking the greatest thing in their life should be that their children are actually Christians that love the Lord and obey the word of God. That's the main problem.
I remember speaking with a group of pastors years ago, and believe it or not, at one time I was young. I was a young pastor back in those days. But even when I was young, I was smart enough to know that the public school system was not a good place to be sending your kids. I know, I went there, see? And so here, when we were talking about, you know, we need to get the kids out of the public schools because they become nothing but hot belts of cultural Marxism. Not all. They weren't all the same. They were, some were different, but for the most part. And so I remember this one pastor, and he might, I knew for a long time, and he was usually right about most things, but here he really fumbled it. He said, well, how do you expect us to reach those students in there unless we send our children in as missionaries? And I said, all of the authority figures there in that school are, well, they're not on our side. You understand? Your children are not going to bring the gospel in there. What's going to happen is they're going to lose what they believe in. It's going to be gone. They're going to take all of the faith, everything you've instilled in them. And that is exactly what has happened. That is exactly what has happened. And so I've had more parents tell me over the years, I wish I had listened to what you were saying. You were so right. We never should have kept them in the public schools. And so here now, he goes on to say, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay before blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Joe, you know what a very good example of that is.
Well, right now, I might not be thinking about your thing. Right now, I'm thinking about the children that be forced vaccinated in the schools in different states around our country without the parents' permission.
Well, yeah, but when they were talking about earlier, when they were saying the children, it's an all-time high committing suicide because of COVID. It's not because of COVID. It's because of these teachers that are instilling fear. These teachers that are instilling fear is because these parents that are sending their children to these schools where the teachers will instill fear in them, where they put these little kids in. Look, these doctors and nurses will tell you if you wear one of those face diapers, you need to change it every 20 minutes. They put on these face diapers, and they become soiled diapers. And what it does, it holds the bacteria around their mouth. These kids are getting pneumonia. These kids are getting sick and dying. But not only that, Joe, again, they have mouth infections, gum infections. It's a bad, bad thing that they're doing to these children. It's a terrible thing that they're doing to these children.
But there's no parental involvement in schools. People, like you're saying, they send their children to school, but they don't go.
Right.
And they don't check out what's really going on in the schools.
Well, that's kind of changing because you've seen a lot of parents are pretty angry.
Well, it is now.
Yeah, we're watching the clips. They're finding out when their kids are coming home sick and that. And then they're finding out about the porn that they're putting in the books. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing that start to change. And again, homeschooling is skyrocketing. And by what group of people do you think more than any other right now that it's, and I'm talking about nationalities, that is skyrocketing? Black folk.
Black people. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But because it's always been a function of not having the money to send kids to private school. But now
they're scared.
That's exactly right.
Right. And so here, he goes on to say, and of course, the innocent, there's nothing more innocent than unborn babies, okay? And then he goes on to say, Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Now listen to this, Joe. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. What is that, when you all have one purse?
Socialism / communism.
Exactly. Yes. That's what he's talking about. And here, again, what is the difference between... There's only one thing difference between the name, between Satanism, the practice of Satanism, and communism. Do you know what it is?
I don't.
The name, that's it. It's the only thing that's different. It's the same old horse with a different name.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, just right.
What do you call progressivism, socialism, communism? Communism,
sure. Yeah.
They're all bad.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the same old dog with a different name. He goes on to say, my son, walk not with them in the way. With them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. What do you think that means? Surely in vain the net is spread.
Well, the bird sees the trap, and so he stays away from it. It's once the trap has been exposed, I mean, and just set there and it's obvious, then who goes into the trap when you see it?
If I was to say to you, hey, Randy, listen, good chances are you go ahead and you take the poisonous the jab, go ahead, and there's a good chance you're going to get very sick and die. And you say, well, I'm going to do it anyhow because, they told me to on the television, right?
that doesn't wash. But I feel like it's like being informed. It's just like the schools aren't doing that. It says set in the sight of any bird. The trap has to be set privily. It has to be set secretively because a rational person seeing a trap, it's like setting a landmine out there. I set the landmine out there. You see the dynamite underneath the landmine. And then, now, are you really going to go walk across that? When you see that, but
I'm not. But look, but if I was a Democrat, look. But no,
did you say Democrat? Is that what you said?
Well, I mean, look at what's happening. These people are running. You've got report after report after report coming out. Stay away from the vax. You got the inventor. When the inventor of the vax tells you, "Don't take it. I invented it, and it's." I invented it. It's a military. It's an anti. It's a bioweapon. Don't take it. It'll kill you. And they go do it anyhow, right?
That's right.
And so now here, he goes on to say, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Okay, now, what did Marx tell and Engels tell the common folks about killing the bourgeoisie and taking their property because they earned it off the back of this? So it's all right for you to go ahead. It's morally all acceptable to kill them and take their property, right?
That's right. They did say that.
And so, yeah. So he goes on to say, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. What is wisdom?
To me, wisdom isn't what you know, it's what you do.
Okay.
And because people know, but they don't do.
In this case, wisdom speaking about the Word of God.
About the Word of God, okay.
Yes.
And here he says, opening the gates. The gates is where the government is done, the government business is done.
In the marketplace.
And she uttereth her word, saying, how long, you simple ones, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Well, there you go. He's telling you that.
But that's what we're up against now, is that the hallmark of a fool is that you can't tell him anything. And that's what we have, really, with the people taking the poke. Is that they won't look at both sides of the argument, and you can't tell them anything.
Well, it's true, but it's not just people taking a poke. Look, God's word, the Bible says that abortion is murder. It's
right.
Murder.
Right.
Okay. Now let me ask you to see what here's what we know, and the fools don't know, that on that day that we die, because we know it's appointed for all men to die once and then the judgment, and we know we're going to be judged by God. Who do they think they're going to be judged by?
Yeah, that's
government.
Right.
Okay, so we know different, right?
They're taught by their friendly pastors that everybody goes to heaven. Every funeral they ever go to, everybody's in heaven.
Yeah. You know, see, that's another misconception. Funerals are not for the deceased. They're the only ones that's not there, okay?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, the whole point of the funeral, okay, is to make it very, very clear to people that our lifespans are very short, very short. The Bible says, what, in James 4:17?
Vapor.
Like a vapor that appears but for an instant, right?
Right.
So the point of the funeral is to let people know just how short a time they have. And the idea is you're going to die, and when you die, you're going to end up in heaven or hell. That's the point. And many times, like, well, today, for example, I went and I attended the funeral of Denver Sally. Denver was a dear friend for many, many years. I mean, a very good friend for many years. Denver was adamantly pro-life. He really loved the children. He really loved the children. He was a wonderful husband to his wife, Marcia, and father to his Jackie and his two sons. And he loved his grandchildren. He loved homeschooling. Denver really did. We were together for many, many years. And even though he was a Catholic, and you may have noticed I'm not, we never had a disagreement. We never had a disagreement on anything. We got along so well on everything. And I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him. But I knew one thing. I'll see him again.
Amen.
Yes.
And I know that this life is so short, it'll be just like it was just yesterday. The older we get, the faster time passes.
Goes. That's right.
Yes, it does.
And so that's what one of the things we know. We're going to have to stop right here. We're going to take a quick break, a late break, and we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Yeah.
Why are you marching, son? I'd really like to know. Is it because of Valley Forge or perhaps the Alamo? Or one if by land, two if by sea? A trumpet's call, the will to be free? What of a man who stood straight and tall, who wept silent tears when he saw brave men fall? No matter, no difference, the blue or the gray, all were his brothers. How often he'd pray. And what of Antietam? That now peaceful stream where the water blood red glittered and gleamed. Appomattox, Chickamauga, Vicksburg, Bull Run, Cumberland, Gettysburg, and then Washington. Why are you marching, son? In Flanders' field, how proud were they whose forms beneath the poppies lay. Men who saw Verdun and died at the Marne, Soissons, and those who tried the fearful foe at Chateau Thierry, who fought, bled, whose hearts grew weary, but in whose minds one thought kept churning, that the torch of liberty keep burning. Why are you marching, son? The plain swarmed in, and the rising sun glowed fiercely on the evil done to men whose blood runs through our veins, men who died, whose remains lie forever locked in waters deep. Now is it right that they should sleep while the warm sea laps at a twisted hull and see the torch of liberty grow dull? Anzio, Cassino, Poe, Saint-Mary-Glace, Limon, St. Lo, Garda Lake and Buchenwald, on and on the roll is called. And why? Why are you marching, son? Bugles shrilled in the frozen night and at first dawn, the awful sight of seas of men, row after row left to die on blood-stained snow. Busan, Pyongyang, Suwon, Gyeongju, and blood red ran the swift Yalu. In South Vietnam, the big guns roared, and once again we fought a war to honor a pledge our nation gave to help that little country save her people from the certainty that she'd be ruled by tyranny. No matter where the big guns roar, our fighting men, like those before, take the torch we all held dear and face freedom's enemies without fear. Our fathers died from sea to sea and blessed the torch of liberty. Why? Why are you marching, son?
There you go. That was the Duke, John Wayne. Yeah, well, he was here when we needed him during the Revolutionary War. He took us through it. When it came to the Civil War, he was there, too. He was General Grant. He was there in World War I when he took him and he ran a big bulldozer against the enemy and defeated him. And then World War II, he was there everywhere. And Vietnam, too. He was there in Vietnam. No. But he's gone home to be with the Lord. And Joe, in the last couple of days, yesterday, for example, the saints, the Lord is calling the saints home. He took Pastor Bruce. And you know, Randy, for a long, long time, every time I would, our Thursday morning prayer breakfast, Pastor Bruce would always be sitting by my left side, wouldn't he? And,
absolutely. Yes.
And we'd always have a business meeting after it. And that chair was empty this morning.
We lost a giant.
Yes,
we lost
did.
A giant of a man.
We really did. And I mean, for me, it's like he got me started on the in the pro-life movement because Bruce ran the Geauga County. I sat at the fair with him in the booth there.
I have too.
Yeah, you did too. Yeah, he was he was a wonderful guy, mm-hmm. and he was what you call a gentle giant. He knew how to get the message out without being offensive. And not compromising the message. He was wonderful. He was just a masterful guy.
He was a tremendous help to me, I can tell you that. And,
yeah.
And I miss him. And so I don't know how I'm going to fill that gap, to tell you the truth. But anyhow, Bruce, too, was a wonderful husband. You know, he'd been married, actually been married, I think, 2 years longer than me.
Okay? Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
And, so was that like, 53, 55?
I think he's been married 55 years.
55, you know? Yeah.
And his father and a wonderful grandparent, too, granddad, grandpa. And so very active pro-life for over the years with us, very, very active. So, and then at the same time, he died at 5 a.m. yesterday, Joe, and at 10:10, do you know what we were doing last night at 10:10? We were praying last night. We were right here. We were praying for Michael Mihaljevic. And as we were praying for Michael Mihaljevic at 10:10 last night, the Lord took him home.
Yes. The Lord took him, that's right.
And there he goes. So the saints, it's almost, Joe, Pastor Joe, tell me, it seems almost like the good Lord is taking those that have run a good race and fought a good fight. Just last week it was Dan Schaefer, and a week before that it was Ed Corsi. These were all Christian patriot men, and you know that I and so it's like he's saying, all right, you did your job. It's time to come home for your rest, and you won't be here when things get really bad. What do you think, Joe?
It's possible. I mean, it's, and you look at what's going on in the whole world. It's pretty shocking how dark it's getting, and all these people taking these shots, and you can listen to all kinds of doctors saying, what's going to happen if you took two shots, you took the booster, you're getting to get your fourth shot, what's going to happen to them? And it's amazing. It appears that the devil is winning, but we know it's not, you know, the end of the story, we've got the book, right? We know what's going to happen, but it's amazing to see the darkness. And if God's mercy is taking his people out of here before the rapture and taking people that way, I can see that, but there's still plenty of us left behind that are hurting from the Christian people that we're losing.
All right, so from Genesis to Revelation, we see that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Yes. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. Now, so when we see something that's not right, when we see them, you know, Proverbs 24, 10, 11, 12, rescue those that are perishing, right? And when we see the association, the society out there killing people, we've got to stop it. We've got to do all we can, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
And, Joe, that leads us into Carl Evans. Tell us what happened to Carl Evans, Joe, your deacon.
Right. Unfortunately, you know, he was struggling to breathe, and he got talked into, whatever you want to call it, but they chose to go to the hospital, and he went to Geauga County Hospital, close to where your church is, Pastor. And obviously, with their protocols, you know, I couldn't even get in to see him. The only one allowed to be there was one person a day, and that was his wife. And unfortunately, while he was there, they did several heinous things. And, you know, just speaking the truth, and I just want to give you some of the evidence, the things that they did there, according to their hospital protocols, and the protocols that most of the hospitals around us are all following. One thing for sure is that he knew, and his wife knew from, you know, our church, from listening to your radio program and your newsletters and things, and they knew that remdesivir is not good for you. And if you just take, you know, Google, you Yahoo, whatever, just type in a search engine, remdesivir, you'll see that it causes kidney damage, and 23 to 25% of people that take it, if not kidney damage, it causes your kidneys to shut off. Well, they knew that, and while he was there, they denied him several other treatments. They denied him the monoclonal antibodies. They denied him remdesivir, or I'm sorry, ivermectin, hydrochloroquine. And they just told him there was no evidence that ivermectin or hydrochloroquine actually did anything for COVID.
There's nothing but evidence that it, nothing but, I've got nothing but evidence right here in front of me. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. And then they kept pressuring him and his wife to take remdesivir. And unfortunately, he's just getting worse and worse. And when you're in that situation and, you know, again, no one else is allowed to be in the room, and the doctor, the nurse practitioner are pressuring both of them, hey, he can't breathe, he's getting worse, you know, this is all we can do, this is all we can do, this is all we're allowed, this is going to help. And they told his wife that there's no evidence that remdesivir has any side effects.
That's a lie. That's a flat out nothing but a lie.
It has, depending on who you talk with, remdesivir has a 48 to 53% death rate. It's
right,
very
I
high.
Think that's more accurate, yeah. I'm just saying if you Google it, you know,
yeah.
Oh, it's only
yeah.
23, 25. But I'm just saying, you know, anybody with their smartphone can type it in and see. So
right.
The doctor, the nurse practitioner, was lying to them, bold-faced, Geauga County Hospital, right there. Well, unfortunately, you know, there was no other option. They wouldn't listen. I finally got a hold of a patient advocate, a Christian patient advocate, and she was able to talk to the doctors there. And they basically wouldn't even listen to reason. You know, what you're doing isn't working. Can we try other things? Can we try ivermectin? Can we try hydrochloroquine? No, we can't do that. Hospital protocols won't let us do that. And they even said if the doctor prescribed it, we couldn't get the medication. They wouldn't give it to us. So they take the remdesivir. Brother Carl took the remdesivir. They finished the course with it. Within 3 days, he starts having kidney failure. They put him on the ventilator. His kidneys stopped. They started doing dialysis, and his lungs filled up with fluid, and he died.
And he died, true.
They killed him. They killed him. And, you know, it's unbelievable. First of all, you think about the Hippocratic Oath is do no harm. So they violated their own thing where they easily know the remdesivir hurts people, and yet they forced it on them, forced it. And then number two is informed consent. They're violating the Nuremberg Code against experimental medical experimentation. You have to give the person informed consent, and they were lying about remdesivir not having consequences and lying that, obviously, we already said, that there's no other treatment possible that would actually help. It's amazing. You know, you think, how is there going to be any justice? At the very least, I beg anybody who's listening out there across the country, if you're loved one is in a situation, or you are, where you're going to be forced into the hospital because you can't breathe, something's going on, Don't listen to them. Don't let them put you on remdesivir. No matter what they do and how much coercion, it's not going to help you. Don't take the remdesivir.
And also, in the film we showed Sunday on the NIH report, remember that on that one, that they do allow for the other alternative things. They're just like considered third and fourth options. They're pretty far down the chain, but they do allow for it. We also learned in that film on Sunday that the compensation for the states that followed the NIH report, which is using the remdesivir first and all that, it's well into the six figures. Like West Virginia, like if they follow the NIH protocol, they can get compensated as high as $471,000 per person. Remember, Iowa was like $372,000, and Nebraska was up there too. So I don't know what Ohio's is, but we showed the film in the church yes. on Sunday, and it's either page 33 or 16 that all this is on in that NIH report.
We played that exact thing last night. Now, okay. In fact, this Sunday at 4:30, we're going to be playing the film from Fulmer Reiner, and that film, Fulmer, it shows you this is a group of over 50 lawyers, international lawyers, yeah. and they're going after Fauci. They're going after these people, Gates, for killing people. And you're absolutely right. They're charging them that they violated the Nuremberg Code.
Exactly.
The United States has signed on to that. Now, here, Joe, I've got a letter in my hand from the law offices of Matthew P. Tyson, 5580 La Jolla Boulevard in La Jolla, California. Now, regarding illegal refusal to fill prescriptions, a civil rights violation and negligence. Dear managers, now this has got to do with getting ivermectin or getting hydroxychloroquine. Dear managers and owners, it's come to my attention that your pharmacy has refused to fill the valid prescriptions for ivermectin. Your pharmacy manager told our one customer that it refused was because ivermectin was not FDA approved for use in treatment of COVID-19. The same manager told the prescribing physician that she was not comfortable dispensing a prescription for ivermectin to treat COVID-19, and there was no indication for the prescription. The FDA does not approve uses at all. The FDA merely determines whether to approve or clear products for marketing and labeling of the intended use submitted to it by the marketed. A product need only to have a single intended use. All treatments beyond such intended use are a matter of discretionary medical practice by a licensed physician. Well, here, look. The law clearly states that the individual, the patient, has the last word when it comes to treatment. The last word. Now, his wife has a lawsuit. His wife has a lawsuit. And I know right now she's Mrs. Evans probably feels, you know, he's gone now. What good? I can't bring him back. But the reason that she should sue that is because if you don't, they're going to keep doing it to other people.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Right, and that's part of what I wanted to say tonight on the radio is if you know the doctors, the nurse practitioners, people working in that hospital, they need to be aware that they will be held accountable before God. You can't commit murder and get away with it. And you can't sugarcoat it before God. You know, there's no, I was just obeying orders. I was just following protocols. You know, the Nazis giving their defense, doing evil, wicked things. You know, you're doing evil, wicked things in hospitals, keeping people from their family, keeping people from their pastors, keeping people from the healing treatments and letting them die there in those hospitals and lying to the people there. So those people are responsible for God. They need to repent. They need to come on the radio program. They need to go on TV, the local networks. They need to repent, and they need to do it publicly and warn other people not to follow that path. They are blood guilty before God.
I agree with you, but I think the other thing that people don't realize is that the doctors are the employees of the hospital.
Yeah.
And they're thinking the same way that the people who they threaten them with their jobs, they're being threatened with their jobs. I mean, and I'm not defending them, but I'm saying that this is the reality. The doctors are afraid of that. A doctor can't switch a cotton ball because the hospital owns the practice. There isn't any more of, you know, like when I was coming up 50 years ago, 60 years ago, doctors made decisions. They don't anymore. They follow protocol.
I'll show you how old I am. When I was growing up, the doctor would come to our house.
Yeah, same thing here. Yeah, we had doctors.
They came to our house. He did house calls back in those days.
Exactly.
And so that shows you there. Look at Craig in there. He's never seen that. He don't believe it. He don't think it actually ever really happened, okay? And so, but anyhow.
Again, none of those people are going to be able to say before God, well, you know, I couldn't lose my job.
So listen, I agree with you, Joe, but certainly not, you know, but I'm just saying that, like, people really think that these doctors are these stalwart people who are brave, courageous, and bold. They're not. They're cowards, and they're scared for their jobs, too. And, I mean, think about that. Like, if in West Virginia they get $471,000 for this stuff, that's almost $1 million for every two people. And the hospitals are putting some serious heat on these physicians to do that. And I'm not defending them because my life is worth more than $471,000, if that's what it comes down to. But we're trusting these physicians.
There'd be no hospital. They can start their own practice.
Yeah, yeah. And
well, that's exactly what is really happening.
Yeah.
Because the frontline doctors now, Joe, frontline doctors, and those are doctors that are not owned by Big Pharma.
Yeah.
These are independent doctors that are not owned, and they will do what they will do the right thing instead of, say, they've lost credibility. They've lost, you know, it's just like today. We're living in a time when with such things as honesty, honor and integrity, okay, are very rare, and I'm going to tell you, professions that at one time used to be very honorable professions. Everybody wanted all the mothers wanted their sons to be doctors, okay. Lawyers have always had a problem.
Right, yeah, exactly.
but when I was growing up, school teachers,
amen.
You know, where they had that was an honorable profession. School teachers, you know, you had. You know, they didn't get paid a lot back in those days. And police officers, boy, I'm going to tell you, you know, but things have really changed. And Joe, you know, the one profession that's more than any other that has really gone bad. And, Joe, that's the one you and I are in, huh?
That's right, the pastor.
Pastors. That's the other thing I want to say was, you know, I had a missionary. He's on deputation. He's got several children. And they're on deputation called to Australia. So I asked him, I said, do you know what's going on in Australia right now? If you go there, it's like North Korea. You know, the number of shots they're going to make you take, the restrictions, the lockdowns, you can't leave your house if you don't take the shots, all this stuff. And he said, well, I know people there. It's not that bad. That's fake news. What you're telling me is for 2 years, he's on deputation going to fundamental independent Baptist churches, and not a single pastor has said something to him about this. No one is warning him. He doesn't know anything that's going on. There is a huge dereliction of duty of independent fundamental Baptist preachers around the country, I presume, that are not caring for the sheep. They're not warning them about the shots. And now children.
Joe, hang tight. We're up against a hard break. Hang tight and chew on that. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.